I'm a bit humbled this morning standing before you to give this special sermon. It's not my forte nor my experience to give sermons. In fact, this is my first one. I have been active in some churches and served on committees. I've here in this church tried to be somewhat active, but this is a little bit of a stretch for me. So, but while I am humbled to stand here, I'm also honored to be standing here, honored to be invited to speak today. And God willing, I will accomplish my assigned task. But before I get into the serious part, I need to give you a little lighthearted moment. This is called Those Who Died in Service. A boy was coming out of service and stopped before a large marble plaque in the church. "What are those names for?" he asked the minister. "Son," he said to the minister, "those are in memory of all the people who died in the service." And the boy said, "Which service, the morning or the afternoon?" So hopefully, when this service is over, we have a full head count of breathing bodies here. I've titled my sermon this morning, "Every Sunday is Memorial Day." And as we get into this, I'll try to justify that title. Memorial Day is not a religious day. It's secular. But it is a sacred day to many. And for those who have lost loved ones in battle, it's a very, very sacred day. Memorial Day is about, let me back up a second. Okay. Memorial Day is also about remembering. Sometimes we don't really remember what the purpose of Memorial Day is. I was watching a little bit of the news yesterday on cable TV, and then last night a little bit. I had a fairly busy day, but I saw a lot of promotions about Memorial Day. There were the Charlotte 600 or Coca-Cola 600 race. There are Jake out at the furniture stores. There are promotions about this and promotions about that. But I never heard anyone speak about the sacrifices, honoring the sacrifices that people made. Men and women, by the way. And even on Facebook, I got messages from people that spoke about having a happy Memorial Day. We salute our veterans. And we always salute our veterans, but not one of those emails or one of those Facebook notices spoke about those who have given their lives for this country and what Memorial Day is all about. So, I thought I would educate those who may not be quite as knowledgeable as I've gotten in the last week. Originally, Memorial Day was called Decoration Day. And it was called Decoration Day because the graves of soldiers, both the Confederate and the Union soldiers were decorated by their loved ones and organizations that might be in and around their particular local areas. It was started, as I just mentioned, following the Civil War. I polled a few people about Memorial Day in the previous week, and asked them, you know, do you know when it was started? And not one of them could name that it started after the Civil War. A lot of them said World War I, and we know that as Armistice Day or Veterans Day now. It was initially started to commemorate the fallen Union soldiers, not all soldiers, but just the Union soldiers. And on May 5th, 1968, the commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was not an army at all, but was sort of like a VFW today in the North, General John Murray, saw all these services taking place in cemeteries and so forth. And as the head of that organization, he sent out a general order, number 11, that says that we would choose May 30th as the day to commemorate the fallen soldiers, because that's the only day that there was not a major battle that had taken place during the Civil War. So that's how we got to designate May 30th as Memorial Day, or at that time still Decoration Day. As I said before, the observances were originally held in cemeteries, and parades started sometime thereafter. Early 20th century, it was the Memorial Day was first used in the early 20th century, in 1882. Up to that time, it had been referred to as Decoration Day officially. In the early 20th century, there was general concern about recognizing fallen soldiers of all wars. So Memorial Day then was changed to honor all fallen soldiers. Decoration Day was changed to Memorial Day in 1967, which is hard to believe. It was officially changed by Congress to Memorial Day in 1967. Then, in their infinite wisdom, Congress decided that they would take the national holidays, federal holidays, and move them from their respective day, original day, to a Monday in order to promote a little vacation time, business, pleasure, et cetera, et cetera. There was an outcry, especially with the veterans, that the Veterans Day should not be changed from November 11th. And Congress rolled back that. There was also a big demonstration of both, not demonstration, but a big appeal by some Congress and veterans groups to not change Memorial Day. But that failed. So we are now observing Memorial Day on the last Monday in May. You know, in addition to parties and cookouts and car races and so forth, it's important that we remember names in Memorial Day. There are names that some of us know of fallen soldiers, but there's also personal names that come to mind. I remember my mother. who was my staunch supporter, both in professional and in my personal life. When I had successes in my professional life, she was there to pat me on the back and to congratulate me. When I had failures in my personal life, she was there to share compassion and love. So I remember her for that. I also have a couple other names that I remember. I remember Captain John Blaylock, who was a special person in my life. He was my first active duty commander as a commissioned officer. I reported to Captain Blaylock, and he took me under his wing as a second lieutenant. And in the basic training center, he nurtured me, he guided me. He also introduced me to my previous wife, which I don't hold him responsible for that. he was also a person who saw in me some potential. He recommended me for assignment as a company commander in the basic training center as a second lieutenant, which was fairly unusual. We both left and went to Vietnam about the same time in the early 68. And I got there just prior to Tet of 68. And those of you who know anything about the history of Vietnam know that was a pretty deadly period or active period. And my company suffered casualties, many casualties. And at some point around February, I went down to Long Bend, Vietnam, to visit some casualties in the hospital. And while I was there, I had found out that John was stationed in Long Bend, which was probably one of the safest places you could be. It was where the headquarters for the whole war was. And I spent the night with John in his little hooch there. And I went back to my unit the next day. And about the middle of April, I got a newspaper clipping that told me about the death of John Blaylock. It's interesting that I was up in the front areas. He was way in the back area where life expectancy was probably almost 100%. But a 122-millimeter rocket landed in his hooch and killed him and the other occupants there, where I had actually spent the night with him. Another name I remember is Colonel Hank Phillips. I was in A Company. He was in C Company. He was a company commander. John died just doing his job. Hank died as a hero, as a valiant soldier, leading his men in combat. Hank was just a good guy, everyday guy. He took his job serious and he performed it in an exemplary manner. He was awarded a Silver Star. He also was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross, which is the second highest award that our nation gives someone. I was instrumental in helping write that and the recommendation for the Medal of Honor. It was downgraded to a Distinguished Service Cross. But these are two guys that I remember. Ironically, Hank, I didn't know this, but when I came back from Vietnam, I was sent to Fort Benning, Georgia, to the same job that Hank had held, in the same unit, the exact same job. And it was my privilege and my honor. Later on that early summer, this is me standing here to escort his wife to an award ceremony where he was presented the Distinguished Service Cross. So these are two people that I remember very succinctly on Memorial Day. But I would ask you, whose name do you remember? These people that were spoken of today are to be honored, and they are to be remembered. And it's up to us as a congregation, as an American, to remember what this day is all about. But I said every Sunday is Memorial Day. And there are a couple other names that I want to mention. It's a day to remember God and His gifts to us. God gave us many things. But the most, you know, He created this earth. He created the universe. There are untold, well, they are accounted for, not untold. There are numerous contributions or gifts that God gave us when you refer to the Old Testament. But the one thing that He gave us that we remember so much is that for He so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then we remember this guy, Jesus. Jesus went around His area of the world teaching. I'm going to quote Matthew. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He also willingly died for our salvation. You know, He didn't just die. He knew He was going to die, but He didn't just die. You know, on the night that before He was crucified, He had an opportunity to probably just say goodbye to the disciples after dinner and go off someplace and drink some poison and you know, go out the easy way. But we wouldn't be telling the story if He had done that. He took another course. He stood like a man and faced what was prophesied for him. You all know the story, how he was arrested and so forth. But, you know, I think it's helpful that we remember, because this day is about remembering. We should remember how he died and what he went through before his last breath. You know, when the Jewish priests confronted him and took control of him, they beat him up a little bit, and you know, they questioned him and so forth, and they turned him over to Pilate. And of course, Pilate went through the question and answer session and offered the high priest to accept someone else other than Jesus. And they said no, which was a custom. So before Pilate turned him over to the soldiers, he was also flogged by Pilate as well. He was mocked as the king of the Jews. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. Now, you know, we have a Geneva Convention in the military that tells you what you can and cannot do to a prisoner. It's pretty strict rules. You heard a lot about that during the waterboarding interrogations, that we were going beyond the Geneva Conventions in interrogating. There was no such thing as convention of rules on how prisoners were handled back then. So they had liberty to do whatever they wanted to do. So the soldiers placed a crown of thorns on Jesus' head. They disrobed him and put a purple robe on him because he was, after all, the king of the Jews. It wasn't out of respect that they did that, by the way, as you know. He was again beaten and spat upon. He was struck in the face. He was made to carry his own cross. Now, there are references to Simon of Cyrene carrying his cross. But every prisoner was made to carry their cross to their crucifixion. And so we will accept the fact that he carried his cross. He was again disrobed at the side of his crucifixion, which, by the way, was referred to as the Hill of Skulls, I believe it is, where that was the crucifixion place. When he was thirsty, he was offered a putrid wine. The Bible says it was mixed with gall. He refused it. His hands and feet were nailed to the cross. It was planted upright to increase the torture. And by planting it upright, it also affected his breathing ability. He remained suspended on his cross for 6 hours. He was nailed on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning local time. And he stayed on it for 6 hours till 3 p.m. local time. His side was pierced even after he died. And one thing I wanted to mention here. I mentioned that he died at 3 o'clock. In 2000, President Clinton issued a memorandum called a National Moment of Remembrance. And this remembrance said, this memorandum stated that Memorial Day would be remembered 1 minute of silence at 3 p.m., 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day. Isn't it ironic that Jesus died at 3 p.m. and President Clinton, in his statement to the acknowledged Memorial Day, stated it would be 1 minute at 3 p.m. I don't know if they, you know, knew what the coincidence was or not, but I took that to be an interesting point. You know, as we celebrate Memorial Day, let us remember to stop and thank God for those who have paid the price for our freedom. Let us also remember to thank God for Jesus, who has set us free from the penalty of sin because he was willing to pay the price. Amen.